Yeah, I'd like to ask the lay of these mishaps that we take along the path. At what point would you say, other than that desperate suffering,
right,
would we know to ask, say that we were lost, versus we just haven't gone far enough? And if, what would we ask in light of Ajahn Dhammapala's comments to get out of a preconceived notion that we're hearing the instructions, but still...
Well, that is where suffering is your best teacher, and both in small ways and big ways. So essentially, that is how you refine your practice, and you start kind of learning a sense as to what's working and what doesn't. That's through basically suffering. And that's... So suffering, there's another causal chain, which I didn't read, is the Buddha talks about how suffering is the causal condition for the arising of faith. So it's another slightly nice little angle on that. But also, just to put the same thing, but in a slightly more positive spin, because it's been a bit negative in the last few, like a bit dark, but there's just a story Ajahn Jayasaro tells, and this is about the Aikido master. I'm not sure, do you know this one? Where this master is like this complete master with his balance, and he's like a genius, and he never loses his balance. And the student says to the master, you know, you're so inspiring, you've been at this for like 80 years, and you've never lose your balance. And he goes, what are you talking about? That's not true at all. I'm losing my balance all the time. My skill is not in the fact that I never lose my balance, but it's in how quickly I regain it. And so it's okay to be making these mistakes, and it's kind of part of everything. It's just you make them, and then you kind of, as quickly as you can, and a beginner maybe takes a while, maybe it takes a few, you know, a while to get back on the path, but, you know, basically that's the whole thing, is you kind of make a mistake and get back on it, you make a mistake and get back on it. Eventually, to an outsider, it looks like you're kind of on it all the time because you're so skillful. Your own experience maybe is actually you're kind of following all the time, but you're immediately getting back on it because you just recognize that's the best thing to do.
So the suffering then in the presentness.
Pardon?
How when things are pleasant, but we're not quite really headed in the right direction, is it?
Well, I mean that's.
To see that this is.
Well, there's two aspects. One, if you have the mindfulness that can recognize a pleasant state is a pleasant state and not to get attached to it, okay, so that's one, that's great if you can do that. But that's hard, and that's why they say heaven is very hard place to get enlightened from, because generally people just hang out, right? So it's a very hard place, not totally impossible, because if you have the mindfulness, you can not get attached to it, to everything, and you can let go. But then... At the end of the day, what we wanted to recognize is, and this is where it is refinement, because the things that we think right now are pleasurable, if seen in the proper light, are actually suffering. The Buddha has that lovely simile of the leper who you know, the only relief he gets from his wounds is by burning them, but then that makes it worse. And the Buddha says he actually thinks he's getting some relief simply because his faculties are deadened and dulled, and therefore he actually experiences pleasure in something that is painful to touch. And he goes, in the same way, we generally, even the things that we experience as blissful, like an eon in heaven, if seen in the proper light, that's actually a very unsatisfactory condition and not worthy of attachment.
So by continuing on the path,
so,
in the noble truths,
yeah,
eventually something will end, the impermanence of that pleasant state.
Yeah,
and
through
suffering, you can see, this was
through, and here's another nice just little thing to keep in mind. This is this time is from the Buddha, not an Aikido master. It's the Buddha says, suppose there was a man who, the king said, okay, take this man and stab him with 100 spears in the morning, and then he's still alive at noon, stab him with 100 spears at noon, and then in the evening he's still alive, stab him with another 100 spears in the evening. And then tell that man that he'll have that experience every day for the next 100 years. But at the end of that 100 years, he'll realize the Four Noble Truths. Let's say this was a bargain. He goes, well, a wise person would actually, it's nice the way he says this, a wise person would actually consider accepting the bargain. He doesn't say a wise person would do it. But he says, he goes, a wise person would consider this. And why is that? Because samsara is long. and it's a long, treacherous journey. But then he says, but, he goes, I declare, recognition of the Four Noble Truths is not accompanied by pain and suffering, but recognition of the Four Noble Truths is accompanied by happiness and joy. So it's like to clearly see suffering in its fullness is actually a very joyous sort of experience, because you're liberating yourself from that which is truly, truly unsatisfactory.